Now, the mystery has haunted generations since the Second World War. Who betrayed Anne Frank and her family, and why? Well, now, thanks to radical new technology and the obsession of a retired FBI agent, the author of our next book unfolds the story in a gripping, moving narrative. And she joins us now. It's great to have you on the show with us, Rosemary Sullivan.
Oh, it's very good to be here.
I'm very, very excited. I have to say, Rosemary, I'm a big Anne Frank fan. I really am. I've read Anne Frank's diary several times, and I'm desperate to go to Amsterdam to see the Anne Frank house.
It's very moving. In fact, you get a tour, and it was so shocking is how tiny it is.
Really?
The tiny room, and it still has, her bedroom, for instance, still has posters on the wall of the magazines she cut out pictures of the royal family from and pictures of actresses. So it's very, very much you feel the texture of that time they were there.
Yeah. And eight people lived there for 2 years.
That's also extraordinary. Otto Frank had decided to, when his oldest daughter, who had turned 16, was being inducted into forced labor, he decided to go into hiding. And so it was himself, his wife, and his two children. And then one of his longtime associates and who worked with him asked if he could join. So that was another three. And then one of the people who were the helpers, Meet Geese, met her dentist, and he wanted to find a place to hide. So Otto Frank said generously, if seven, why not eight? Which was extraordinary, frankly.
Yeah, incredible. So we have this retired FBI agent, Vincent Van Koek. Is that how I pronounce it?
Yep, Van Koek. Yep.
Vincent Van Koek. Why did he decide to start looking into this again?
Well, in fact, the project started before Vince. It started with the filmmaker, Tice Baines. And Tice had begun to be concerned, frankly, about the shift towards anti-immigration and the kind of rabid nationalism that was developing in Europe and also in the Netherlands. And he was passing the Anne Frank house one day and watched people lining up, and he was thinking, you know, what is fascism? And suddenly it occurred to him that that's the question that everybody asked who visited the Anne Frank house was, who betrayed Anne Frank? And there was no answer. And so he turned to his friend Peter Van Twisk, and Peter said that he wanted to join the project because he felt that the Netherlands had not fully faced the complex experience the Second World War had been for the Netherlands, since they had deported 72% of their Jewish population, more than any other Western European country. And why and how? Oddly enough, it wasn't anti-Semitism so much as it was a kind of tradition of bureaucratic extremism that caused this. And then they started turning to Dutch detectives, Dutch cold case police, specialists. And it was decided that it would be a very good idea to have an outsider lead the team. Somebody who wouldn't be reluctant to make negative statements that might come up and whatever. And one of the Dutch detectives had worked with Vince Van Koek and suggested that Vince, who had recently retired, was brilliant. He had worked on, of all things, he worked undercover on drug cartels in Colombia. He'd worked on Wall Street crime. And so on. So he was the man to ask. And when he was asked, he said yes.
Wow. It is true, though. I mean, I'm just currently reading a story of a young girl that was murdered over 30 years ago. And you do get these cold cases because we've got much more better technology nowadays, haven't we, to look into things?
Precisely. Yeah. What Vince could bring was his experience as an FBI cold case investigator into AI, artificial intelligence. And what they did actually was start to collect information and pour it into an AI platform so that connections could be made that had never been made before. For instance, Vince decided to have five projects. So he had the neighborhood project, he had the arrest project, he had the, you know, varieties of projects, and into those projects poured material so that he could see that which detectives worked together on which Dutch detectives who worked for who were pro-Nazi, worked for the occupiers, who worked together, who might have been working on the cold case, on the arrest of the annex, the people hiding in the annex, and those connections. He had the statement project, where which he collected all statements made about the Anne Frank case or by the participants in the story, so that, for instance, he was able to find statements by Meet Geese. And, you know, you have to be as obsessive as Vince. He was sitting or lying out on a couch, he said, listening for about the 100th time to a speech that Meet Geese was giving in the United States, when she was asked by someone in the audience, well, who betrayed Anne Frank? And her response was, well, the person died before 1960. Now, you know, why would she say that if it wasn't true? Mm. And so that was one of the measures to determine whether this person or that person was a likely betrayer. And there were a number of cases like that.
Wow. Did he manage to actually interview anybody from that time?
Thijs Byens, the filmmaker, was able to interview a man in his 90s who had been hidden in the basement of Thijs Byens' grandparents' house. And Thijs only discovered this in the course of his research for this project, which made it clear that many people after the Second World War didn't want to discuss it. They wanted to get on with their lives. So this old man told told Thijs how his parents would be the way station for Jews to hide as they were being, as hiding places of a more permanent nature were found for them. And he said dozens of people came through, and oddly enough, he stayed, and he showed Vince the place in the basement of the ancestral home where the radio was hidden and where some guns were hidden and so on. So that was very close to the real thing, right? But the people who may have been involved directly in the annex case, all of them were gone. There was a moment when Vince thought that maybe a woman who was a secretary for the Jewish Council was alive, but again, she was gone. So no immediate witnesses, but the next generation, people turned up with stories about their parents that helped to clarify certain things.
Yeah. So dare I ask, can you put us out of our misery? What was the conclusion? Do we know who did it?
We can speculate as to the most likely suspect.
Okay.
And the most likely suspect, when Otto Frank returned from Auschwitz, he reported that soon after his return, he didn't say exactly when, you know, but presumably in the year of 45 of his return, he received an anonymous note which said that your hiding place was betrayed by notary Arnold Vandenberg along with other addresses. So you have that note.
Arnold Vandenberg. So he was a notary?
He was a notary. And so what does Vince and a company do? They start to investigate, and they find out that Otto Frank went to the jails where the police, the Dutch police, who arrested him and his family, were imprisoned, and he asked them about Arnold Vandenberg, right? At least he asked one person. And then he kind of let it go quiet as he waited for the various commissions to investigate. I mean, at the end of the war, there were thousands and thousands of cases to be investigated. Finally, in 1947, there was an investigation into who betrayed the people in the annex, and the suspect was considered to be the watchman, the warehouse manager, but nothing was concluded. It was a circumspect case. He seemed to know there were people in hiding, but it was not likely that he had betrayed them. It went on like that until finally Vince and company were able to discover that that Arnold Vandenberg had, and you can imagine the research that's involved, he had done so many things to save himself and his family. There was something called the Kalmeier List. It's just astonishing, the bureaucratic terrorism that the Nazis imposed on people. If you were Jewish and could get on this list, you could declare that you only had one grandparent who was Jewish, and you could be declared a non-Jew. It cost you a lot of money. He was able to get that status. His firm, he had his own firm, was taken from him. His house was taken from him, his beautiful mansion-like house. The last straw was when the man who took over his business, Spears, began to hound him because Vandenberg hadn't opened his files completely to this man. And this man had declared that he actually was Jewish, that he didn't deserve the Kalmeier status, and had his bank account frozen and so on. And the person who was a kind of protector, a German banker, art dealer for in the Netherlands, left the Netherlands. So Arnold Vandenberg was exposed. It seems likely, a real possibility, not 100% provable, that Arnold Vandenberg was the likely suspect. And how could you judge him? By August 4th, 1944, which was the date in which the Nazis arrived and invaded the annex and found the people in hiding, by that time, Jews knew that they were being deported in freight trains to concentration camps, ending up in extermination zones and cremation. If you had the possibility of giving anonymous addresses, that was what Vince realized. The letters said not your name to Otto, but your address. So if you had a list of anonymous addresses where Jews were supposed to be hiding, you also knew that many Jews moved on, didn't stay that long in one place, would you not give it over in order to save your family from that unbelievably inhumane fate? And so I feel that Arnold Vandenberg is a victim of the Nazis, not a perpetrator, not a betrayer.
It was as if he didn't have a choice.
What choice did he have, and who would not make that choice, especially since it was anonymous addresses? And he died in 1950, and I would imagine he was a man of honor. He worked on various committees to help refugees and so on. It must have cost him a great deal to encounter Otto Frank, and knew that Otto Frank lost 7 people, including his 2 daughters and his wife. He himself had been able to survive. The legacy of those kinds of horror are really unfathomable.
Yeah, incredible, incredible. Well, it sounds like a great read for our listeners. It's called The Betrayal of Anna Frank, Less a Mystery Unsolved Than a Secret Well Kept. Do you think lots of people knew, if it was him, do you think lots of people knew that it was him, or just him and maybe his family?
No, I think just him and his family. And in fact, his granddaughter, whom we were able to interview and whom we kept anonymous, his granddaughter said that his parents, her grandparents, never talked about the war.
Right.
So, in fact, I think that Thijs Behn said his grandparents never talked about the war. And actually, Peter Van Twist discovered in the course of his research that his grandfather, for whom he was named Peter, was working for the resistance and hid weapons and took great risks. And all these stories in the families, which the generations following didn't know until this research was done. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's fascinating stuff. I can't wait to start reading it. Thank you for being on the show, Rosemary Sullivan.
Thank you for asking me.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.